Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí are appealing for assistance in locating a teenager missing from Donegal. It's emerged children, meanwhile, are being left unsupervised at a school in Letterkenny as the current bus errand schedule means a child has to be dropped off prior to school supervision commencing. A man has been arrested and a quantity of pregabalin, a drug linked to a number of deaths in the northwest, has been seized in Derry. And a member of the Committee for the Restoration of Carndonagh Daycare Services has challenged the HSE's assertion that the service cannot be restored because issues identified during an audit are beyond mitigation. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. First news, Gardaí and the family of a 14-year-old missing from Donegal are concerned for his welfare. 14-year-old Richard Ogbivore was last seen on Sunday night. Donald Kavanagh has more.
14-year-old Richard Ogbivore was reported missing from his home in Letterkenny at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. He was last seen on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Richard is described as being 6 feet in height, of slim build. He has curly brown hair and brown eyes. When last seen, Richard was wearing a navy blue puffer jacket and grey tracksuit bottoms. A photograph of Richard is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Gardaí and Richard's family are concerned for his welfare. Anyone with information on the teenager's whereabouts is asked to contact Letterkenny Garda Station or the Garda Confidential Line.
It's emerged children are being left unsupervised at a school in Letterkenny as the current bus errand schedule means a child has to be dropped off prior to school supervision commencing. The school transport crisis has been highlighted in the Dáil this week, with Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle hitting out at the Education Minister Norma Foley, claiming he raised the matter with her multiple times over the last month and has yet to receive a response. Speaking in the Dáil, Deputy Pringle says 5 minutes is a long time to leave children on their own.
One constituent contacted me about her son, who had just started junior infants in Letterkenny last month. At this particular school, Bus Éireann have decided that the drop-off time is 8:45 a.m. However, the school is adamant that supervision of the children cannot be provided until 8:50 a.m. This means that children as young as 4 years old are left on site without supervision. While 5 minutes may not seem long, those 5 minutes are excruciatingly long for anxious parents who are sending their children to school for the very first time, and 5 minutes is long enough for very young children to find themselves facing a situation that they are not equipped to deal with. When applying for the scheme, there is no mention of the fact that this is a possibility, and it is also not mentioned in the terms and conditions. It's very possible that some people aren't even aware that this is happening. This could potentially be an issue that is affecting many children across the country, and it is also possible that some children are being left for more than 5 minutes. It is not clear who is legally responsible for school children after they are dropped off by school transport and before the school is opened. This oversight means that Bus Éireann and the school are able to pass responsibility to the other.
The health watchdog says a number of hospital emergency departments are failing to meet minimum care standards due to overcrowding. HICWA is appearing before the Oireachtas Health Committee to discuss its annual report for 2022. It has also called for performance issues to be addressed and for improvements to patient care. The most recently published inspection report for Letterkenny University Hospital found the ED to be partially compliant with the national standards, with particular concerns about shortages of both consultants and nurses. Management say they are working to resolve those issues. HICWA Chief Executive Angela Fitzgerald says some EDs are making improvements, but others are falling short.
It is fair to say that a number of our hospitals' emergency departments are failing to meet the requirements of the national standards because they remain overcrowded. And we know that that link between overcrowding and safety is well established. But we also must say that those same hospitals, when we step beyond the emergency departments, we have found examples of good practice in other areas.
The government is being urged to intervene in a bid to avoid a scheduled strike by health and community workers. The Section 39, Section 56 and Section 10 organisations such as the Irish Wheelchair Association, Rehab, Family Resource Centres and homeless organisations are to engage in industrial action in a row over funding and recruitment and retention issues. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says the strike notice should act as a wake-up call for government. He says workers need equality.
I think that people across Donegal would be shocked to learn that, you know, there are workers in community organisations and health organisations, the likes of the Irish Wheelchair Association, where I met the workers and the service users in recent days, who are not getting paid the same as people doing exactly the same job in the public service. This has been going on for far too long. And the problem now is that they can't recruit people, so the services are falling back and people are suffering out there. So the government need to sort this out, and we need all workers to be treated exactly the same.
And are you hopeful that there will be action? Because we've seen in relation to the firefighter strike, that went on and on for months.
Oh, I think the problem is that for years now, the goodwill of workers out there, be it the retained firefighters, be it people working in disability services, people working in community resource centres, domestic violence centres. These are people who are civic-minded, and I think they've been taken for granted for far too long. All they're asking is that they get paid exactly the same as people doing exactly the same job in the public service. And indeed, it's not even about that anymore, just about that. It's about the fact they can't recruit new staff because people are going into the public service for the better wages, and that's not sustainable. It's having a real impact. And now they're saying we have to go on strike because we haven't been heard for the years that we've been trying to get this issue resolved.
A man has been arrested and a quantity of pregabalin seized in Derry. A search of a property was carried out in the Craigan area of the city today as part of an investigation into the illegal supply of prescription medication, along with a quantity of the Class C drug, which has been linked to a number of deaths in the northwest in recent months. Two mobile phones and documentation were also seized. The man in his 40s who was arrested was later released on bail pending further inquiries. Police say the investigation is continuing. Sinn Féin says it would end the Help to Buy scheme in its first budget in government. The party launched its alternative budget today, which would be a total package worth €6.8 billion. Included in that would be a three-year rent freeze, along with a month's rent to everyone in the private rental sector. Sinn Féin says housing would be its top priority in the budget, and the party spokesperson on the issue, Ona Brin, says funds from the Help to Buy scheme would be best used elsewhere.
We've been very clear, it pushes up house prices. It makes it much, much more difficult for people to purchase a home. 40% of the funding, according to two independent reports, who availed of the scheme didn't need it. Nothing wrong with them availing of it, but that's money that could be better spent elsewhere. So it would be our intention, if in government, to end that scheme in our first budget.
A member of the Committee for the Restoration of Carndonagh Daycare Services has challenged the HSE's assertion that the service cannot be restored because issues identified during an audit are beyond mitigation. The committee will hold a public meeting to discuss the issue in the Colgan Hall on Friday night at 7:30. Carndonagh has been without day services since the COVID-19 pandemic, with the HSE saying an audit had identified substantial deficiencies, which mean an alternative location is the likely solution. However, Tony Doherty, an engineer by profession, told today's 9 till noon show that he believes there are solutions and he wants the HSE and the community to engage in real dialogue.
Facilities management is what I've spent my whole life doing, and this issue is all around facilities management. What we've been given, Greg, is 9 issues, right, that they have. So it's kind of like a whole big catch-all, right? Now, my experience of doing audits, and I would say I've done about 100 audits in pharmaceutical companies and aerospace companies, and this is just an audit. In audits, you have 3 different categories. You've got observations, you've got minor non-conformances, and you've got major non-conformances, right? Now, I've kind of taken apart the 9 issues, right? And I know if I was on the other side of an auditor, right, I'd be challenging each of those issues, right? None of those issues, in my opinion, are major non-conformances. There needs to be a dialogue in relation to that. And I think there's an education piece that we need to be putting into the HSE here about how to mitigate against these issues. So it's not like if there's a non-conformance, the ball is burst and everybody goes home, which is kind of the message I'm getting at the moment, right? That doesn't happen in industry. You come up with short-term, medium-term and long-term mitigation to ensure the continuity of the product or of the service. I don't want to be giving out too much about the HSE with that. I'd like to be meeting with them.
Yeah.
I'd like for us to be able to hopefully educate them, all right? Because audits are awful things, right? They're really, really difficult and very stressful environments. But I'm pretty sure that we can collectively, and the community can come together and be part of that solution as well. We can maybe help to raise funds, get companies involved. Collectively, we can come up with a solution.
Staging Euro 2028 matches in Ireland would be good for football, the country and relations with the UK. That's according to the Taoiseach after Turkey withdrew its bid to host the tournament. It leaves the joint UK-Irish bid to stage the event unopposed. Matches in Ireland will be played in the Aviva in Dublin and Casement Park in Belfast. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar expects formal confirmation next week.
We learned today that Turkey has withdrawn its bid. That means we anticipate that next week, in fact on Budget Day, UEFA will formally announce that UK and Ireland will host the 2028 tournament. I think that's going to be great for football. I think it's going to be great for the country. I think it's a good thing for UK-Ireland relations, and something I will discuss with the Prime Minister when we meet in Granada tomorrow.
An Oireachtas committee has heard how the Western Development Commission has played a key role in attempts to deliver balanced regional development. During a Rural Development Committee discussion on grants and bridging finance for community groups, WDC Chief Executive Alan Mulrooney outlined the history of the commission and its role in supporting community groups, start-ups and infrastructure development. He says during the lifespan of the WDC, tens of millions of euro has been invested in the West and Northwest.
Established in 1997, the WDC is a statutory body operating under the Department of the Rural Community Development, the RCD, and our mandate encompasses counties Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Roscommon, Mayo, Galway and Clare. At its core, our mission aligns with the National Development Plan's pursuit of balanced regional development. Our dedicated communications team actively promotes the Western region through initiatives such as westernjobs.ie. Collaborative efforts with stakeholders and agencies have garnered millions of euro in PR value in the last number of years, emphasising the region's work-life balance and the career opportunities. Under our EU team, we leverage EU funding, 42 million over the past decade. Our policy team conducts an in-depth research into long-term trends, challenges and solutions affecting our region. Drawing from diverse data sources, we inform policymakers on crucial matters like broadband, employment, energy and transportation. As part of our work on the Atlantic Economic Corridor initiative, we've launched ConnectedHubs.ie, now a national project. This network of over 300 hubs has revitalised communities. It's offering diverse services and workplace options to individuals, startups and corporates, with plans to extend and expand to over 400 hubs by the end of 2024, if not before. And lastly, our Western Investment Fund, WIF, as it's called, marked its 20-year of investment in 2021. The WIF includes the Strategic Investment Fund, Business Investment Fund, Community Loan Fund and RAP Fund, Microloan Fund, dedicated to the creative industries. The Western Investment Fund initiated investment in 2001, receiving $31.75 million in Exchequer funding between 2001 and 2010. Very important since then, it has been operating independently as an evergreen fund, reinvesting all earnings into the Western region.
Gear your club up for the season with a great range of footballs and training equipment from names like O'Neill's, Murphy's, Precision and Mitre at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of sport on Highland Radio. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with international football. John Egan will miss this month's Euro 2024 qualifiers for the Republic of Ireland. The Sheffield United captain suffered a leg injury in their loss to West Ham at the weekend. Callum O'Dowda has also been ruled out of the games with Greece and Gibraltar due to a groin injury. Stephen Kenny names his squad for those qualifiers tomorrow. I'm sure as you heard on the news, Ireland and the UK will host the European Championships in 2028. Turkey have withdrawn their bid to host the tournament. That means the joint Irish and UK bid is the only one left in the running. Official confirmation is expected to come from UEFA next week. Meanwhile, Spain, Portugal and Morocco are set to win the hosting rights for the bulk of the 2030 World Cup. However, to mark the 100th anniversary of the first tournament in Uruguay, the first three games will be played there in Argentina and Paraguay. All six countries will qualify automatically, contributing to 48 in total. Newcastle manager Eddie Howe says his team can't just focus on stopping Kylian Mbappe tonight. The French international will be part of the PSG side for their Champions League visit to St James's Park. Howe insists that it will take a big effort to get a positive result.
I never think it's down to one player, or I don't believe in that way of playing man-to-man marking. That won't happen. It'll be around our team structures and making sure we do a really good job in our units to nullify space. And fingers crossed we can do that and, yeah, keep probably the best player in the world at the moment quiet.
Kick-off for the Group F match is at 8 o'clock. At the same time, the holders, Manchester City, are in Germany for a meeting with RB Leipzig in Group G. Defender John Stones and winger Bernardo Silva are available again for City. Manager Pep Guardiola is pleased to have them back.
Both travel Yeah, really happy that they are back. So John could not play one minute this season, and Bernardo had a pre-season like that, the birth of her beautiful daughter, and also was injured a little bit. So they are back. So that is a good news for us.
It's a big night ahead for Celtic in Group E as they entertain Lazio at Parkhead. Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers is hopeful home advantage will help his side get off the mark 2 weeks on from a 2-0 defeat to Feyenoord. Rodgers is expecting a raucous atmosphere in Glasgow.
It's a game that brings the stadium into such emotion, and obviously we want to then bring that emotion onto the field. And historically, you have a great European nights here, but you want also to have the result with it.
Jurgen Klopp believes Liverpool's Premier League game with Tottenham should be replayed. Liverpool lost the game 2-1 with what would have been an opening goal from Luis Diaz incorrectly ruled out for offside. The Premier League yesterday shared audio of the match officials' conversations that led to that decision. Klopp says his desired outcome is unlikely, but thinks that it is the fairest approach.
I'm 56 years old, and I'm since 50 years in football, and I'm absolutely used. I don't deal always well with it, but I'm used to wrong decisions, difficult decisions, blah, 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 all these kind of things. But something like that, as far as I can remember, never happened. And that's why I think a replay would be the right thing.
Ireland's forward coach Paul O'Connell has revealed that Robbie Henshaw has picked up a niggle. The centre sustained injury in training and has been investigated by the squad's medical team. It leaves the player in doubt for the final Pool B match at the Rugby World Cup this weekend. Ireland take on Scotland as they look to ensure qualifications for the quarterfinals. In Gaelic games, there's a couple of matches in the northwest tonight. In Tyrone, it's quarterfinal night in the football championship at intermediate level. Clogher are taking on Moy. That one's at Stewartstown at 7:30. But before that, in Ballinderry, there's a fixture to be played in the Derry Senior Football Championship. It's the remaining Group B clash between Ballinderry and The Loop. The result will determine the relegation playoff lineups. Swatra and Coleraine are the other two teams that are involved in the relegation battle. And the losers in both playoffs will be relegated as next year's championship has been reduced to 12 teams at senior level in Derry. Finally, in snooker, Antrim's Mark Allen is back in action at the English Open this evening. He's taking on Matthew Sealt in the second round of the competition. That's your sport for today. Michaela will have more tomorrow morning after the 30 news.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, a planning application has been lodged for a new swimming pool in Buncrana. The chair of the Buncrana Leisure Centre Committee anticipates funding will be forthcoming and a contractor will be appointed within a year. The intention is to seek funding for a new facility under the Re-Empowering Buncrana project announced for the shorefront last year, a move backed by Donegal County Council. Rosita McLaughlin says a significant tranche of funding is needed.
Thankfully, we have some positive news this week, and the committee is absolutely delighted. We've worked tirelessly to try and bring this project along, and yesterday the planning permission appeared in the paper, so it's great news. Our problem is that the initial funding grant from the Swimming Pools Fund, which we got in 2005, $3.2 million. Now, that was only to refurbish the pool, but we decided it was so far gone that the sensible thing was to build a new state-of-the-art centre, and we need matching funding for that. So we're hoping that we can be tied in with the Empowering Buncrana project and get to, we probably need about $8 million. So that'll be down to the councillors to approve the project and to go ahead and provide the funding. And within the next 12 months, we hope we'll get approval for that.
The exact amount of interim funding for RTE will not be revealed before the budget. Appearing before the Oireachtas Media Committee today, Minister Catherine Martin said the original request was €34.5 million. However, this was prior to shortfalls due to unpaid licence fees. She says anything above the Future of Media Commission's recommendations of €16 million in the interim will be dependent on RTE publishing its strategic plan. It was confirmed today that framework will not be ready before the budget, as previously promised by Director General Kevin Backhurst. TD Matty McGrath says he's opposed to any more money going to the state broadcaster until trust is restored.
I'm opposed to getting a shilling in our euro until such time as we get decency, transparency and answers, and not the dumping that they did on top of us here with the reports and only hours before the committee was to sit.
With an eye cloudy this evening with outbreaks of heavy rain with one or two fresh southwest winds easing later. Cloudy tonight with outbreaks of rain and lowest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, Gardaí and the family of a 14-year-old missing from Donegal are concerned for his welfare. 14-year-old Richard Ogbevoor was last seen on Sunday night. It's emerged children are being left unsupervised at a school in Letterkenny as the current bus errand schedule means a child has to be dropped off prior to school supervision commencing. The school transport crisis has been highlighted in the Dáil this week, with Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle hitting out at the Education Minister, claiming he raised the matter with her multiple times over the last month and has yet to receive a response. A man has been arrested and a quantity of pregabalin, a drug linked to a number of deaths in the northwest, has been seized in Derry. A search of a property was carried out in the Craigan area of the city today as part of an investigation into the illegal supply of prescription medication. And an Oireachtas committee has heard how the Western Development Commission has played a key role in attempts to deliver balanced regional development. During a Rural Development Committee discussion on grants and bridging finance for community groups, WDC Chief Executive Alan Mulrooney outlined the history of the Commission and its role in supporting community groups, start-ups and infrastructure development. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 4th of October. The death has taken place of Jim Nallon, 6, Knocknamona Terrace, Letterkenny, formerly of Knockmore, Ballina, County Mayo. Jim's remains will repose at his daughter Katrina's home at Listillion tomorrow and Friday from 11 a.m. with Rosary Nightly at 9 p.m. Funeral on Saturday morning to St. Julian's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Margaret Elizabeth Miller, née Hamilton, 94, Berry Hill Road, Ballylaw, Artigarvan. Family and friends are welcome to call at her home tomorrow from 12 noon to 9 p.m. House private, please, at all other times. Funeral service will take place at Lechpatrick Presbyterian Church on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining burial ground. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Lechpatrick Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Julianne Rankin, 38 Hall Stevenson's Park, Strabane. The death has taken place of Tess Boner, née Cassidy, 223 Duncastle Road, Donnymanna, formerly of St. Johnson. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Killena, Donnymanna at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, to family and friends only. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via Donaghadee Parish Church YouTube channel. The death has occurred of Jim McGinley, Drumlanagher, Donegal. Jim's remains will repose at his late residence until 6 o'clock this evening, with removal to St. Agatha's Church, Clare, for 7 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Agatha's Church, Clare, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Sligo Hospice, care of any family member, or Faulkner Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Hubert Kavanagh, Ballymacarthur, Greencastle. Hubert's remains are reposing at his home. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass will take place on Friday morning at 11 in St. Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member. For more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.